Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Groovy, baby. Yes, we are screening Austin Powers. It's coming up.
International Man of Mystery. It's the 20th anniversary of the most shagadelic film of all time.
It's official. It's been checked by us. It is the most shagadelic and most horny movie of all time.
It might sound ostentatious, but I think it would be powerful for you to see this film.
And when can they see it?
August 16th at Sydney's very own Golden Age Cinema.
One of the best cinemas in the entire country, I do declare it.
I do declare it. And Sam Campbell, do you have any more fun puns?
Well, the tickets are available at ourgoldenage.com.au for purchase. And I suggest doing so because tickets are almost sold out for this event. So buy it and then hang out with us on the most shagadelic and horny evening of the entire year.
I love Golden Age.
I don't tell lies, but I do break promises.
It's Mike Check. It's Mike Check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
Hello, horny babies, and welcome to another episode of Mike Check, the only podcast that goes through the entire works of Mike Myers, who is a comedian, just to check if it is good or if it is not as good as we would hope. We currently are a Gong Show recap podcast because Mike Myers is deep undercover as the host of the current iteration of the Gong Show, Tommy Maitland. We're sure it's him. There's been no solid proof yet, but we are
you've got no proof.
Which, of course, is a famous Tommy Maitland quote. So there is no proof out there, but we are the experts. We're the ones declaring that it is him. On this episode, we're going to be discussing episodes 4 and 5 of The Gong Show.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's what we just watched.
We just watched episodes 4 and 5 of
SO1,
The Gong Show.
SO1, EO4, SO1, EO5.
Correct a good go. My name is Alexi Toliopoulos, and with me, as always, is Cameron James. Hello, Cammy J.
Hello. great to be here. Great to be nestled into your ear holes. Great to be recapping The Gong Show once again. A show that we don't know if we like, but we are forced to watch.
I think I like it at the moment, I would say.
Okay, you're on an upswing.
I had a wonderful day watching with you and
a
wonderful guest.
Shall we intro said guest?
Let's do it. You know him from online content. It's comedian Sam Campbell.
Thank you so much.
Welcome to Mike Check. Thank you for joining us.
I'm a big fan of the show. I've listened to every episode except for all of them.
Well, Sam, that means the world to us that you would really support your mates in this endeavor.
That's so exciting. Wow, thanks for watching The Gong Show with us as well.
Yeah, I liked it. Even though we didn't get a torrent, it was streamed.
Yeah, we streamed it. We're famously streaming this show. We don't cross the streams. That's rule number one.
Thank goodness. A lot of shit will go down if that were to happen.
But rule number two, find a good Russian site.
This one, we didn't quite get Russian. We did get Ukraine. We were on a Ukraine stream this week.
I like the little women in the side saying, like, ooh, well, come and have sex with me.
Yeah, hot Ukrainian babes in your area. I'm like, I want them in my fucking downstairs area.
Sammy, are you a big fan of Mike Myers?
Yeah, I reckon I'm up there.
Yeah, with who?
With us?
With people who like him a bit.
A bit. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
What's your favourite role of Mike Myers?
Oh, man.
And you can say one of Fat Bastard's roles if you want.
If you want to be funny about it, you can do that as an option.
I like his role as... I just like... I think he is an auteur.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's obviously something you probably have discussed a lot.
Yes.
But I like how he...
Believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah, we've given that a go.
But like, that's my... I like how he creates. He brings things to life. Like,
yeah.
He kind of... I mean, I don't know, like, he doesn't direct the movies or anything, but it's his. No, it's always
but it's his baby.
He writes them, he creates the characters, he's always working on the script while he's on set, mm-hmm. even on things that he doesn't necessarily love, like Cat in the Hat, he was rewriting it, even though he hated that project.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a...
Sometimes he's an auteur, sometimes he's an autard. So, but no, my favorite like, character that he's done, Mini-Me.
Actually, I think you'll find that's actually not him. It's just a smaller version based on one of his actual characters. Yeah, it's a little version of him.
That's he's a miniature person. He's a short statured man.
Yeah, he's a miniature Mike.
Yeah.
I would say
he's a little tripod.
Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of an impression of Dr. Evil that you
did. Do you do Dr. Evil at all?
Yes.
Dr. Evil, one of the great characters. A truly comedic gem. One of my favorite types of characters. A man who wants power, but is disrespected by everyone.
Not unlike, you know, someone like a Rodney Dangerfield, you know? Someone who's desperate for respect, but he don't get none.
Yeah. In fact, Rodney, didn't he used to say, I don't get none respect.
I don't get none. I don't get none up here.
Well, that's his famous catchphrase.
Which is weird because he was actually one of the more respected comedians.
Yeah, he's still iconic, I would say.
It's quite ironic, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's crazy.
But maybe back in his day, he didn't get none respect. Early on
in his career.
He had his own comedy club called Dangerfields.
Yeah, that's a big sign of respect.
Yeah.
He named it after himself. He had to make his own respect out there in the world. And you can hear that on our podcast, The Danger Files.
Sam, you were just saying earlier that you want to start a comedy club in an airport. Would you consider calling it Campbell's?
Cambino's. Yeah, because there's these new laws in Sydney. 2 hours. You got to get to the airport 2 hours early.
First, we had the lockout laws.
Yeah.
Now we've got the lock-in laws. You've got to get in early.
Yeah, I see, you know...
And you see this as a business opportunity. You're one of those business-minded comedians.
Don't get me wrong. I think terrorists are sneaky. But I...
Hey, I'll agree with you on that one.
I think we can see some, the silver side of the cloud.
Mm.
And let's have an open mic at the airport.
Yeah.
People are there for 2 hours. Sign up. Great.
Anyone can give it a shot. So if you're hanging around the airport, you can do
it. What else are you going to do? Read a fucking New Idea magazine?
Read The Naked CEO or some best-selling book that's always
The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
We've been in a lot of airports. So I would love to sign up. Can I MC it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow,
I reckon you should get a pro MC and then everyone else is sign up.
Yeah, everyone else is fly in, fly out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's got legs.
I'm not going to tell you.
I think it's got wings.
They've done comedy on planes before.
Yeah, and I've heard it's a great success. Isn't that what Soul Plane is?
Is this too comedy-centric for your listener?
Nah.
It's a podcast about Mike Myers.
Our listener is a comedy nerd, so they love this.
Our listener, he's just one dude out there. He thinks it's all funny.
Mike Myers.
Yeah, actually, Mike is...
He's got a Google alert.
Yeah.
No, still... I think Rhys Darby does comedy on planes.
Really?
Yeah. On the mic.
Just that is the most obnoxious thing I've ever heard. Like, on any flight he's on, he just grabs the mic. Excuse me, hello.
Whoa, it's like he's here.
Plane meeting.
I got you a gig, Brit.
Just does quotes. That's awesome. Quote comedy is my favorite comedy.
Well, that's what they want. They want to get their money's worth.
Yeah.
When we're talking about Dr. Evil, have you guys reviewed and talked about clips of? When Dr. Evil, have you watched many clips of, like, when Dr. Evil or Wayne and Garth have done SNL late, like post.
We have discussed films. Them briefly.
We did the Dr. Evil one from a couple of years ago when there was the Sony leaks.
Because sometimes it does not go that great. Like it gets like the biggest cheers ever, and then it falls off. Maybe the writing, they didn't have time.
They didn't have time to perfectly craft it.
I mean, I'm going to blame the writers. I'm not going to blame Mike.
No way. Mike
is
a genius. He's perfect.
Yeah.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
That's the first time I've declared it. Mike is infallible.
But today we watched The Gong Show. Have you been watching The Gong Show?
I've seen the first episode. Maybe I'm up to date.
I think you'd probably be up to date with us now,
definitely,
right?
Definitely seen the first and the third.
And you saw the Dana Carvey one?
Dana Carvey one I loved.
Did you watch the Will Forte episode?
Do you know the Dana Carvey one?
Mm. Yes, we've discussed
it. I did watch the Will Forte. I think I might have seen him.
You're up to date.
You've seen him all.
And Armisen on that as well.
Yeah.
But you know when Dana Carvey, there's a bit where he whispers to Mike? Like in one of the ad breaks when they're dancing?
Yeah.
He's dancing.
We've been trying to crack it.
Is that, it's like in Lost in Translation?
Yeah.
That's it for
that's
us.
Our Lost in Translation.
Bill Murray whispers to Scarlett Johansson.
I have my theory of what he whispered.
What do you think he said?
I think he said Wayne's World 3.
Whoa. Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Let's do cool. it.
Because they were doing Bill and Ted's 3, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. And well, these Wayne's are about the same age, so let's do Wayne's World 3.
I think so. I think it would probably be better than Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah, this time they have an internet
but
show.
You can't have these old duffers in it. I'm talking Zac Efron as Garth.
And Michael Cera as Wayne.
No, The Rock as Wayne.
The classic comedy duo back again.
He's the second highest earning star in the world behind Jackie Chan.
Really?
Yeah.
Jackie Chan's number one, The Rock's number two. Who's number three?
Number three, isn't that the mole? Isn't that Fred Savage?
that was funny.
Deep, Mike.
Yeah,
Myers.
Sorry, dude. I got an encyclopedic knowledge of the Powers trilogy. So we're going to be discussing episodes 4 and 5 of The Gong Show right now. Where should we start? Should we discuss Tommy Maitland?
Yeah, let's start with Tommy. Now, Sam, what do you think of Tommy Maitland? Because we've had our own very in-depth discussions about this guy.
When I first saw him on the Tonight Show,
I think it was Kimmel. Was it Kimmel?
Yeah, Kimmel Tonight Show.
Was it? Oh, it was Kimmel and Will Arnett was guest hosting.
Yeah.
I liked a bit he said in that when he goes, "Do you think he's sexy?" Yeah. We don't think he's sexy. I love just the phrasing of that.
Yeah,
I don't know, mate. Like I liked that a lot.
Yeah.
He goes, "We don't think he's sexy." Like he's like, "Do you think he's sexy?" I don't know why.
We call him Mr. Hand Sanitizer.
I just
because 2 pumps and then you wipe it all up.
Yeah, the jokes take them or leave them, but I just loved the delivery of that
energy.
One line.
Yeah.
There's something about him that we have often said that Mike Myers is best when he's a little bit horny, and I think that is the epitome of Tommy Maitland. He's always just a little bit charged up in the groin area.
God, and I can relate to that.
I
get it.
I didn't like the way. Like, I just like the way. I didn't like what he was saying. I just like he's like. Do you think he's sexy? Like, and he's kind of talking to the audience. I don't know. But I do think he's got too much prosthetics on.
Yes.
And his eyes are too far back in the head.
Into the head because they've had to push, the prosthetics have pushed his face
He looks
out
like one of those old chairs, like an old cushion, an old, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
with the
upholsteries.
Yeah, with the
button too far back.
Yeah, they are like I reckon raisins pushed into a pudding.
I was going to say bring them forward, but that how would you do that?
Bring your eyes forward.
Unless he had
just put glasses on him.
Unless he had fake eyes, and then how would he grope the contestants?
He is quite gropey on this show. He really barred up a few times on it. There was some contestants that were quite sexy.
Do you think they're sexy?
And he certainly did think they were sexy. There was a couple of old biddy acts in these two episodes. In the first episode that we watched, there was an old biddy act where they were singing to a Jackie Wilson song.
Yeah, it was "Do You Love Me?"
Do
and there
you
was
love
about
me?
10 older ladies. They're from
they're biddies.
Senior
Could
group.
You please call them biddies?
Biddies, biddies with damn titties.
And they were
dressed in coordinated outfits. They look like pink ladies.
Pink ladies, not the apples, but the sluts from Greece.
I would take a bite of those pink ladies.
And by Greece, we don't mean my homeland. We're talking about the musical.
By Greece, we're not talking about what I use to lube up my hog. We're talking about
when we talk about.
And they danced around to "Do You Love Me?" And it was probably the high point of
it was probably
both
fun
episodes.
For them, but nice.
It was very cute. They were doing like tap dancing. I thought it was lovely. They got a perfect I mean, 29 or something.
I think
like
they
that.
Got like a high score, but the yeah. judges was stupid and shit.
Mm.
The judges were being but very nice.
Well,
Tommy was on fire. I
he was on fire. I feel like after the Dana Carvey episode, Tommy Maitland
yeah.
has been renewed with the energy of well, a much
I,
younger
I
man.
I
want
to put something out there. I think that the Gong Show can now be broken into two eras, pre-Dana and post-Dana.
Yes.
And there was a specific moment when, and Sam, you brought this up as well, when Dana Carvey stood up as a judge
yeah.
and started talking in a British accent, that is the moment that the Gong Show changed.
It switched on, baby.
And he
it's
totally
like
broke the structure. Like, it wasn't what he was supposed to do
yeah.
at all.
Exactly.
Like the structure. Like my Tommy came to life.
Tommy made, like, some cheap gag, and then Dana yeah. just started going, "Oh, day!"
Oh, I do declare! Fantastic. Something like
but
that.
But sometimes I feel like some of the things Tommy Maitland says, I think some of the things he says might have a second meaning.
Really? Perhaps an entendre of some kind.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
You know, he's always like, "Well, I wouldn't mind banging that twice." Or sometimes I'm like,
is he talking about fucking that woman?
Yeah.
He had the best line with though that.
Yeah, this is the Micah's touch. We'll declare it now. This is the best line of entire Gong Show season thus far.
It was incredible.
What was the act that he was talking about? I can't even remember.
I believe it was a burlesque dance.
Oh, was it the woman who spun around in a giant
the hula hoop?
Yeah, there was
ring.
A woman who was in a hoop that was...
Or was it those...
I think I found her
Or was it those
sexy.
Dances again?
Maybe.
The second lot of dances.
There was also, in the second episode, there was a bunch of larger women who were dancing.
Larger biddies.
They were larger biddies.
Biggie biddies.
Biggies. They were biggies. And they were singing along to Big Spender from the musical Sweet Charity.
And they were
a lot of
shaking
musicals.
Their bodies around. And
yes.
It was quite erotic.
It was very erotic. And
it was an orgy of flesh.
And Tommy really, really reveled in this moment.
He brought out... One of his from his famous case of props, he brought out a big stack of cash and started making it rain.
Yeah,
he blew his whole wad. One might say he blew his whole wad.
He loved. I love the little props that he has.
I love that little shrine, don't you? That little Tommy shrine
with Lizzie on it.
Yeah.
But hang on, so it was the Big Spender.
I think it would have been that.
Okay,
act.
And he said, I don't know. I don't want to misquote it.
Okay, I wrote it down.
You wrote it down
because it's a perler.
He comes out. He makes his one of his famous cracks. He says, "I thought about that act last night, and this morning I fell downstairs and broke my pajamas."
And that took us a few seconds to cotton on to what this mofo was talking about. And
all at once, we erupted at laughter.
Yes, because that's a kind of joke where it's a thinker.
It's a thinker, not
it's
a
It's so
thinker.
Funny. So he has thought about them at night.
And you would assume he's being aroused.
He's either jerked off
or
had
a
wet dream.
Nocturnal emission.
Yeah. Nocturnal.
That's what we call it.
Yeah.
Nocturnal emissions.
Yeah.
From the dick.
Yes.
From the tip of the dick.
And he'd absolutely...
Creamed his beads.
Just caked.
Yeah. Soggy.
Soaked up his pajama bottoms. With boof.
And then you know what happens. After an emission, you are... quite spent.
Because semen becomes...
you become quite spent.
And semen becomes quite hard.
Yeah, so he would have fallen asleep the whole night. And he's...
in a cocoon of his own smegma. In a sarcophagus of his own making.
And presumably the semen would harden overnight into the material, thus making it a little bit stiff.
Mm-hmm.
Not unlike an erection.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would be falling down those stairs and his pajamas would crack,
they
breaking them.
Cracked in twain.
Which is very funny.
Which is funny, and even funnier when you consider this is a primetime show on ABC.
Yeah, on ABC Family.
This is exciting to me that they've got Mike talking about his cracked cum pajamas on TV.
Yeah.
Oh.
On TV, nonetheless. This isn't a feature film. This isn't a film that you have to go to the back area of the video store to pick up. This is available for anyone to watch with their family. A family could have been watching Blackish before this or Modern Family, and now they've come on to this horrible program. I love that idea.
Do you think the show stinks?
No,
really come around on the show.
I am living in a post-Dana standing up world where I'm 100% on board with it. But there are moments where it's a bit shit. Shaving cream would be the low point.
Shaving cream.
Shaving cream.
That's one of those lame songs where it's like, I saw a nice horse with a nice big deliberately talking about something else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
who
exactly.
cares?
It's just as it's used as a palate cleanser in this show. It's just performed by one of the staff performers who comes out and sings Shaving Cream with all the audience, maybe one of the fucking dumb acts or whatever, and then they'll just get everyone back on board for the next thing. But you can tell everyone hates it.
Yeah, and they're really trying to make it a thing. If any horny babies have watched The Gong Show, you'll know the Shaving Cream song. And Tommy Maitland keeps tweeting about it. He keeps being like, who knows all the lyrics to Shaving Cream? Do you find it sexy? And all like these fans are pretending to love it. There's no way anyone loves this part. It goes for 3 minutes. It's so boring.
It's so, and it's a shit song.
It's just a rum-pum-pum-rum.
Oompa.
Pum,
it's an oompa song.
It's bullshit.
That's if I think Tommy Maitland should have a mini-me.
Yeah.
If they just get a smaller Tommy Maitland.
Yeah, a little Tommy.
Who would you like to be this small Tommy Maitland?
Oh,
Ben,
that's
Troyer
great.
Again?
Maybe Quentin.
Quentin getting handy. He's a famous Australian media personality.
He's a nuisance.
Famous Australia media nuisance.
Yeah, he used to crash. There's a great video of him... So he,
crashing the chases.
Ray Martin was obsessed with him from an early age because he's
from an early age
because he's extremely deformed. He's
got very brittle bones. Yeah. And if you, I remember specifically,
he's got one bone.
He's like Mr. Glass from Unbreakable.
He's little. Okay. He was in Mad Max as one of the bod creatures.
He was in Fury Road, wasn't he?
Yeah, and he used to crash Big Brother. And one time
he crashed the chasers, I remember
he
that.
He was scooting into Big Brother and there was this guy dressed as a rat. And he said, oh, what are you, a rat? What are you, a rat man? And just sped off.
We love you, Quentin. You're one of our heroes. One
please
of the biggest inspirations
the
for Mike Check. Please do our podcast.
Please crash the Mike Check podcast.
We need more people crashing things. No one crashes big events anymore.
It's just freaking Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson crashing.
Do you remember the Serial Pest?
Who's the Serial Pest?
He's this guy from Newcastle and he became famous for crashing big... He crashed... the Melbourne Cup. He ran onto the track during the Melbourne Cup.
Oh, right.
Oh my god! Did he get trampled by a horse?
No, he crashed. He crashed Big Brother as well. Crashed the
Quentin's gig.
The Olympics, like a soccer match at the Olympics,
like Sid Millioli.
He pulled the net down, most famous one is he crashed Michael Hutchence's funeral.
Oh no!
And he got up in the middle of the funeral during Nick Cave singing "Into My Arms" and started miming being hung.
Funny stuff. Unreliable.
He's my favorite comedian. Wow. And he's the Serial Pest.
Doesn't teach comedy school in Newcastle. That's where you learn all about him.
He's always, if you're in Newcastle, you can always spot him around. He goes by the name Shock. Check him out.
Oh, you still see him around.
Yeah.
Oh, what a twit.
He also faked his own death at one point.
Fuck. Who came to his funeral?
Me. I went and mimed crashing things.
Let's talk a bit more about
another Newcastle. Super Hubert. Have you talked about him on the podcast?
No.
He is like the Gong Show. Because he was a big hit on Red Faces. It's pretty similar to Red Faces.
Yeah, it's Gong and Gong and Red.
There's no Red
Faces.
It is
Red Faces.
But it is Red Faces.
Yeah.
But Red Faces was probably ripping off the Gong Show. To be fair.
Whoa.
I think this is the horniest Tommy Maitland has been in the entire Gong Shows. These two episodes back to back.
Do you use horny as like a synonym for like performing well? Like
a bit of both, but this literally, he was fucking horny.
Or
the
like
whole
he
time.
Was.
I think
he
all his jokes
turgid.
Were very sexual.
Very
he
sexual.
Was also touchy with the women a bit.
Yes. Yeah. And
but I reckon that is not. Like, you know how there is. Often stuff like that, and you're like, oh, yuck.
Yeah.
But I think that is just Tommy Maitland.
Yeah.
Like Andy Kaufman didn't smoke or drink, but when he was Tony Clifton, he would.
He would be a riot.
Yeah, so I think that, like, Mike Myers would not want to touch anyone.
No. But also, Austin Powers did the same thing. He was also quite a famously horny, you could say.
Yeah, one of the horniest characters in cinema.
And that bloody Love Guru.
Love Guru is really horny.
Yeah.
He's horny.
Like, Mike is, I think... as a person, day to day, he's probably not touching people. He's probably not making double entendres.
I would say,
but when
Mike
he channels
Myers,
his comedic voice, it is very much sexually charged.
He leads from the nutsack.
Yeah.
He leads from it.
Do you reckon he does this thing that character comedians sometimes do, namely Famous Sharon from Perth, where they pretend they are not their character, like they're in character the whole time before they go on as well. Yeah. And you're like, oh, hey, Bonnie.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I'm Famous Sharon. Do you think that...
I would say definitely for Tommy Maitland's.
Absolutely. I don't think he would probably say, I'm Tommy, but I reckon he would talk in the voice.
He would do the voice.
Yeah.
He went full Austin with the voice this week.
Yeah, he's getting more and more shagadelic.
Yes, definitely.
He's leaning
really
away from a stiff
up.
Upper lip and leaning more towards the like...
A stiff lower dick.
Yeah.
I do have an interesting tale about when people do that.
Yes, yeah. I'd love to hear it.
It was in Brisbane at a comedy gig.
At the airport?
No, I was at the Newmarket Hotel in the year 2012, possibly 13. Mm-hmm. Jeff said he was on. he's a comedian. And he was wearing a hat and he was in a character.
Okay.
And as maybe a guy named Frederick or something.
Okay.
Who is like kind of deadpan one-liners like, hello. And he did finish his performance, and as he went off the stage, Damien Power, no relation to Austin Powers,
or Austin Tate,
a great comedian, Damien Power, he said to this performer, he said, "Oh, great job," and the guy Frederick or Jeff or whatever said, "Oh, no, I can't talk now, I'm in character," and then he went and he came back without the hat. And he was like, "Oh, sorry about that. I was in." But it's like if you were in the character,
he wouldn't admit to being in the character.
Yeah,
That's a sign of a faker. A true person would never say. Like Sacha Baron Cohen would never.
He would never.
He'd just stay as Grimsby.
I've got one that
say, "I'm being Grimsby right now. I can't talk, mate.
I'm really the Grimsby.
I'm in character as the chasing man from Hugo."
This is a sad tale of me in one of those situations. I used to work at a DVD store in Australia called Sanity, and it is there's a few around still. This was only a few years ago, and there was one day where I got called up to come into work, not to work at the store, but to be an actor. Because they were like, "Oh, you're a comedian. You do acting. You can come do this thing for us." Effie, the comedy character played by Mary Custis,
cool.
Who was like, you know, I watched Greeks on the Roof. She had Acropolis Now. These are all big shows for people in the Mediterranean community in Australia. We have to watch these shows growing up. So she was a big hero of mine. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Come on in. They're going to film a sketch, and we want you to be in the sketch with her."
Wow.
And I really freaked out. I thought this is going to be a bit of a break for me or exciting opportunity. Opportunity. So I had to put on my Sanity uniform, which was like an ugly sales shirt that had "Give the Gift of Comedy This Christmas" written on it, and on the back it just had Carl Barron one-liners down it. So it was a very upsetting shirt.
Awesome. And, do you still have that?
Yeah, it's in my cupboard.
Can I have it?
Yeah, you can chuck it on if you want. So I went there, and then Mary Custis was there, Effie, fully in character as Effie.
With the beehive hairdo.
With the beautiful big hair. And so she's always like, "Oh, yeah, you know, she talks like that. She talks with a big accent.
I love Effie.
She's a great character, one of the great, super funny Australian character. And so I got behind the counter, like, "All right, so she's going to come up to you. You just have to improvise with her and try and sell her DVD or say this."
Oh, wow.
Like
it's like a Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah, holy it was like, so I was like, "I'm doing improv with one of the greats." I'm like getting stoked about it. And so she's trying to buy her own CD, which it wasn't like a series of songs performed by her. It was just a 90s track. So she DJed going, "Yeah, that song was pretty good, huh? Here's the next one." That's like all it was.
She's doing skits between tracks?
Doing skits. She's doing a skits mix.
Skits mix 44.
And then she comes up. We do this scene. They never filmed my side of it. They just filmed over my shoulder, so you could just see my fat ear in the clip. And then I was like kind of a bit devastated after that. But it was like my first Sydney Comedy Festival coming up like that week. Mm. So I was like, "Oh, hey, Mary, it was very exciting to meet you. I was, you know, I'm a big fan. I'm a little Greek boy, so yada yada yada." Mm. And she's like, "Yeah, you're pretty good looking. I'll give you that." And never broke character. And it just felt so brutal to me that she just was herself, even though I said, "Hey, I'm in your world."
You called her Mary. And she still answered as
Effie.
Yeah,
I think I called her Mary and she answered as Effie totally.
She's too deep.
She was too deep.
It's also probably for people like that, it's a real way of just deflecting any interaction.
Yeah, I think so. And then we took a photo together and I looked awful. I never looked worse in the photo. And she looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, she's a 10.
She's a 10.
No wonder they didn't put you on camera. Yeah. Looking like shit.
You show up looking like trash? It's disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah.
No wonder you weren't in the sketch here looking like a fucking piece of shit.
You fucking piece of
shit. Okay, yeah. I get it. I suck.
You're the first ever male hag.
We learned something about Tommy Maitland this week about his matador hat.
Oh,
yeah. Tommy Maitland wears a matador's hat, which is something that we don't really like. We like seeing that beautiful, floppy, thick head of hair. Right.
I think it's fair to say, not only do we not like it, we hate the hat.
We hate the hat. It's a bad look. We don't get it. We thought it was a traditional accoutrement with a tuxedo, but apparently it's just a matador's
hat. None of his
hat.
Other characters have worn hats.
Well, Cat in the Hat, you fucking idiot.
it's in the
name.
Now,
it's in the name.
So Tommy Maitland posted on Facebook a photo of...
That's the saxophonist, I believe, from the band.
The band saxophonist wearing the matador hat. And it says, the caption is, "This cheeky monkey stole my matador hat. Queen Elizabeth gave me that hat when we ran with the bulls together in 1979.
So Tommy Maitland probably rooting Queen Lizzie.
Yeah. Hashtag blessed. I mean,
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
I didn't even know she ran with the bulls, but that's awesome.
Maybe running with the bulls is one of the famous entendres that Tommy employs.
Maybe I should comment on it and say, Tommy, confirm or deny. Does running with the bulls mean shooting your load?
Blowing the wad?
Tommy, confirm or deny, did the Queen have Princess Diana assassinated?
We would love to know. If we could break that story
she
on the mic.
She placed that pile on there in the tunnel. I know it.
Do you think Mike Myers knows about you guys? I guess everyone asks that and says that.
No, we don't know. We don't know.
We doubt it very much. I don't think he has much of a social media presence.
Or
much like you, Sam Campbell, another comedic auteur.
Yeah, I would say you are a bit Mikeyan. You know, a Stanley Kubrickian
you
figure.
You also...
Famously difficult to be around.
Set up tunnels between your trailer and set so you don't have to talk to people.
He's got tunnels?
Yeah, he has plastic tunnels set up so he doesn't have to, like, walk
around. What, under the ground?
No, above ground.
Like in E.T.
That's almost weird.
That's on Cat in the Hat.
So he would get in his trailer, he'd get in the Cat in the Hat costume and all that shit, and then he'd go into a plastic tunnel and walk straight to set. Didn't have to interact with anyone. That's a true story.
Would you love to do that? Sounds right up your alley.
I do like to be alone for 3 days at a time.
If you could have 3 days.
You used to live next to an abattoir.
That is true.
So we did learn that. I don't know. I mean, I think Tommy is coming into his own a little bit. I still
think...
Oh,
is that a euphemism? Famous Tommy Maitland euphemism?
Coming into his own matador hat.
Okay.
I still think that the backstory is better than the actual character for sure. itself, but I want to see more of him. And I think he shines best, as we've learned with Dana, when he has a great dais of judges to work with. And we got a real mixed bag in these two episodes.
Totally we did. The first episode that we watched, the dais was none other than Ed Helms.
Ed Helms, the famous Wolfpack member.
Yes, and he was, we'll get into that. And then we also had Alison Brie and Will Arnett. Mr.
From
William
Mark
Arnett.
Maron's Glow.
Yeah, from Glow. He's sexy. Don't you think he's sexy?
Alison Brie was in Glow.
Yeah, Will Arnett's from Flakes.
Will Arnett's
Netflix's
from... Yeah, Netflix's Flakes.
And Horseman.
Yeah, and the Horseman himself.
Bojack Horseman.
Yeah.
Episode 2, we had a slightly better panel, I would say. Rob Riggle, also from The Hangover. Yeah. Not a member of the Wolfpack, though.
Yeah, and also from The Hangover, Ken Jeong.
Ken Jeong. Also, Ken Jeong maybe an unofficial Wolfpack member.
I'd say he's right up there with the Wolfpack. I think it's what makes the Hangover work.
He's like the fifth Wolfpack. Mm.
Well, there's a lot of Hangover alums have been on this show.
And Regina Hall. From SM2. Scary Movie.
From SM2.
From Scary Movie 2.
Yep. SM2. Very funny. Very funny actor.
She was... Yeah. Oh, but should we start with this first?
Let's start with the first slot.
Clowns.
Okay. Ed Helms. No secret on this podcast. He tanked it. He really bombed Ed and Helms turned the audience on off his side.
That's
immediately.
Thing. With this kind of show, if you're a judge on this kind of show, you can't be a serious judge.
No.
You have to be making jokes. You have to be enjoying yourself, laughing.
The guy was giving a classic compliment sandwich every time, but this is a crazy audience being hyped by the greatest MC to have ever walked this earth, Tommy Maitland. So they're already into it. So when he's saying the good stuff, they can feel the butt coming along.
Yeah.
And it's a big butt.
Yeah. It's a bubble butt.
It's Ed
Helms' badonkadonk butt.
So they can feel the butt coming along. When he starts the critique, they all start booing
They're
him.
Booing him.
And then Helms can't close a sandwich. It's a fucking open-faced grill, which is no one's favorite type of food to eat.
Yeah, he sucks. He's an A4 piece of paper. He's just nothing.
He's nothing. He's a bland.
He's a nothing man.
But here's the thing. I was saying it to you guys. I think he's really funny when he's acting out of control. Like in those famous Wolfpack trilogy.
Yeah.
When he has his tooth pulled out, or he gets a tattoo on his face, or a big pair of beautiful tits in the third one.
Oh,
and
when he goes
spiraling out of control. That's so
psycho
funny.
Psycho in the office when he loses it there.
But when he's being a real person, he's just not funny.
Well, he's such a Mormon,
you know? He's such a, like, you know, a straight, normal, nice guy.
The crowd didn't feel that they...
No.
They didn't trust him.
No. Because you don't know him.
Fear and...
Yes.
He just...
Yeah.
He even did that classic thing where he, like, walked back from gonging. You could tell he shouldn't have gonged it. Everyone went off at him.
Yep.
And he just had this smile, like...
Yeah, like a pained, you know? Fake smile. Like, oh, God, just let this take
And I bet he thought it would be easy. But this isn't doing a monologue at the UCB. This is middle America.
Yeah,
this
that's
is the gong
right.
show. This
yeah,
is real
exactly.
comedy for real
yes,
people. It's
you're
not...
in the shit of it all, Ed.
You're in the shit, Ed. And we don't know who you are, but then we have Alison Brie, who is a... She's charming.
She's charming.
She's charming.
She doesn't
she's
have to
fun.
Do very much. She has the middle position, which I think is the easiest spot, where you just have to be friendly and be nice, and she was on board with everything.
And she knows what her persona is. She's a bit flirty. She's a bit funny. She can be mean, but she has the big baby eyes that kind of undercut it all. She knows what she is.
She was incorrigible.
She was. I think she was okay. I mean, I've listened to other stuff and seen stuff with her, and it's been fantastic. But this, I didn't think she got a chance to shine.
No, she definitely did.
And I blame Dirty Ed. I blame Ed Helms.
Ed Helms.
You know, it's like you can't be comfortable when your weird cousin is there or whatever. It's just making everything.
Yeah, just when there's a guy bombing and you're stuck with him. Oh, God.
But the worst part about his bomb, I think, was that he kept, at a certain point, he realized he was bombing.
Yes.
So then he's totally changed his tack and started
trying to pander
to the audience.
Really?
He gave out pretty much exclusively
nines and tens.
Yeah, he gave like great compliments
the
to
guy,
everyone.
Ed Helms got booed for giving a nine.
It was crazy. But I think my thoughts are juxtaposed to Ken Jeong in episode 5 were that if you're going to be the villain on the judging panel...
Eat it up, bitch.
Become the most lovable villain.
Yeah.
Like, the most fucking... Just be mean, gong all the time, commit to your insults.
Have a little shtick as well to kind of fall back on, which Ken Jeong did.
Yeah.
Ken Jeong, he would only give tens to Asian performers. Performers from the Orient.
That's funny.
And that was very funny. And then yeah. Regina Hall got on board with it as well.
Who was the other judge in the first episode?
The other one was Will Arnett.
Executive producer.
But he gets the show because it's his thing.
It's his baby.
And do you think he's sexy?
I think that was very funny. He's tête-à-tête with Tommy Maitland was some of the finest.
They have a great chemistry.
Because he always is flirting with him. Tommy's always flirting with Will Arnett. And it's Will,
he's sometimes always, rude. Like, he's always like, you'd like that, wouldn't you, Will, you masturbator?
He's accusing Will of being a famous masturbator.
Which is not something that we know about Will Arnett, but I guess it's now well, I guess canon.
He's the titular Jack in BoJack Horseman.
That's
so
that's true.
There was one great joke where he was he was like, this next act reminds me of a folder on Will Arnett's computer. Little juggling boy. It was like something like that.
Little boy juggling. It was very funny. I think what we decided about Tommy Maitland's that we are going to put into the canon of what we think he is that Tommy Maitland...
Don't put me in a canon. I might shoot off.
Tommy Maitland.
Writing for the Gosh Show?
I reckon... I'm good at thinking of those ones they do after. He goes, get him a cup of tea and like something else.
Mitzi, go put his feet up on the sofa and nibble on his little cords. but Tommy Maitland, I do declare... might have a wavering position on the Kinsey scale.
Yeah, that's right. Now, we believe that sexuality is a spectrum or a shrectrum.
on one side
Garth.
Is Garth. On the other side is Wayne. And Austin is around there.
Austin
somewhere.
Floats in the middle.
Yeah.
And I think Tommy also is someone who floats in the middle where he's... I'm going to say it. I think Tommy's bi. Tommy's bisexual.
I think he's bi, but he has never had the courage to really suck a chubby. I think that the idea of it really turns him on. Like, probably he maybe watches some naked men and stuff online.
Like, say, if he were to think about sucking a chubby at night, in the morning, if he fell down the stairs, he'd break his pajamas.
They'd shatter.
Yeah.
His pajamas would shatter. But I think he flirts with men and women, but I think there's something about the men where it's like a little bit more standoffish, but he's reveling in every minute of it, darling. That's what I'd say.
Maybe it's an American thing, or maybe it's just a sign of it, like, you know, being a bit more progressive.
Mm.
But the characters that the people he's based on, would never display these traits.
I don't think so.
Like
no.
Bernard Manning and Chubby Brown.
No,
yeah.
like working English comics.
Yeah, that's true.
I love it. It makes him stand up.
Tommy Cooper. Yeah, it's a real. It's a thing that is common in most of his characters. Though they're always a little bit like flirty to men.
Adventurous.
Yeah, they're adventurous. Yeah. They don't care. They're like.
It's a shame that there's more. Because imagine if Benny Hill was attracted to men and women. He would be chasing everyone.
He's chasing the girl nurses and the doctors come out. He's like, whoa, whoa.
But I think as well, that is what I would love to see for the storyline of this series. His through line, his character arc, would be for him to finally hook up with a dude at the end. If Will Arnett and Tommy Maitland just admit it and just fucking, you know, get it on.
Jeez Louise. Yeah, I'd love to see... I mean,
wouldn't
I don't
you love to see that?
Will Arnett has played a similar character that in 30 Rock, where he's very in love with Jack.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, Will Arnett also is a guy who makes flirty eyes with men a little bit, you know, similar to, I guess, me. I do.
Yeah,
I'm
just
it's
me.
I'm doing it. I'm looking you up and down right now.
And I mean, I do declare that I will shatter my underwear later this evening.
The idea of shattered clothing is so
it's nitrogen, baby. Cold cum.
I cum nice. Okay, so that was panel number one. Panel number two, Rob Riggle.
Oh, Robert's
Regina
a wriggler.
Hall and Ken Jeong, a much more lively panel. No one bombed.
Not at all. Not even close to
it. Well, it was just the atmosphere was so much better. They were just having fun.
And it just goes to show that on this kind of show, the panel needs to be curated so perfectly.
I think so.
You need people with real energy and charisma and who are, they don't need to like think of real criticisms. Like who cares? Just say funny shit, make fun of people.
I think they need to be people that can embrace it and be really sucked in and energized by the acts as well.
Yeah.
Stephen Brody Stevens. He'd be a great actor for this.
He's probably doing warm-up for this show.
He probably is the warm-up guy for this show.
I thought Regina Hall was MVP of the
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. She was so good.
She was so funny. There was a guy called Nerdy Nick.
Nick.
And she called him Dirty Mike. Dirty Mike. And then everyone's like, oh, that, and then she goes, you should be called Dirty Mike.
She made him change his name.
And it was just like, you know, your regular run of the mill Poindexter. Yeah. And it made him a little bit more special.
But I think what's so good about this kind of panel is like, because the acts aren't funny themselves, even if it's like a humorous act or whatever, when it comes to them having to talk at the end of their performance, it's so unbearable because they're all like street performers and
they're
circus one acts
joke
and stuff.
Wonders basically,
yeah, they're like very talented and it's fun to watch them, but like at the end of the day they are unbearable people.
Yes, they're and psychos.
You need to have a panel of judges that are willing to kind of like make fun of them or
muck
not
it
care.
Up with the psychos. Yeah,
absolutely.
Who was the biggest psycho on this?
Oh, definitely that man with a colored beard who was singing a song about like
hot dogs,
like
and
hot dogs. It was all that
hot dogs know. And applesauce.
Yeah.
He was like your regular street performer, and he put like dye in his little beard. And
he looked like Stephen Brody Stevens.
He did.
But
he did
like a parody of one of those dudes. Like, and then he screamed, "I'm gonna live forever."
Yes.
Which is funny when I first heard it in 2012.
Yeah.
Is that's a, just a, I don't know.
He was a real psycho, and there was
he
also
did look funny like a bird.
He did look like a little skinny chicken. But also that one of the interesting acts was there was a returning guest from the original Chuck Barris Gong Show. This was his fourth appearance on the Gong Show franchise. Yeah. He'd won the other three. This time he came close-ish, but he didn't win. Mm. And he looked like an old prospector from Toy Story 2.
That was pretty cute.
I said that, and then Ken Jeong said it. So I guess I'm as good as Ken Jeong.
You're as good as Dr. Ken.
Yeah, I think so.
I think,
and he called in Dr. Ken.
Yeah, you got to have respect for Dr. Ken. I think the biggest psycho that we saw on these two episodes was not a contestant, but a special performing guest, David Arquette.
Oh, that was great, though.
David Arquette, the actor, the comedic actor, David Arquette.
Dewey from Scream.
What were you calling those kind of performances?
Hayseeds. That's so funny.
There was a lot of hayseed
like
performances.
Hayseeds. Because like David Arquette had a like little backup dancers that were marionette vegetables.
And he also had a
ventriloquist dummy.
It's like jug band music. There's like three or four acts like this where it's like jug band washboard kind of like
almost
country,
bluegrassy type.
Yeah, bluegrassy like Appalachian style music. And David
Ed
Arquette
Helms
came
was
out
fucking eating it up.
Helms, famous hayseed, loves that shit.
Little banjo bitch at Helms.
But David Arquette came out as, I guess, he requested to be on the show and sang this kind of like jug bandy song with a ventriloquist dummy, and he's dressed in like all white, like a southern creature.
Yeah, he looked like Colonel Sanders.
And then he came out again and sang Shaving Cream with Old Mate.
Yeah.
And I think David Arquette is one of showbiz's biggest psychos. Like a
but
real,
in a loving way.
Yeah, like a real lunatic.
Yeah, he's
an
fun.
Eccentric.
He's fun. There's like this Shia LaBeouf trying to sound like I know anything about pop culture. But I do a bit, I guess.
Yeah, you do. You're wonderful minds.
But that's like Shia LaBeouf. He's like too serious.
Yeah,
he should be less Shia LaBeouf and more Shia LaGoof. have a little
have
bit
fun
of fun
with it. Muck around.
Don't stop shying away from being a goof.
That was my favorite.
That was some good
moment.
Shit. Yeah, I like that. There was another act that brought the energy as well. I thought one of the acts that tied at the end, and they tied with an act that was an old man dancing with a young woman.
Oh, this was in the first episode.
Hasty. Very hasty. Yeah.
They were, and it was. You'd think they were father and daughter because he touched her belly at the end of the performance.
But then he
because if I did a performance.
And you touch the belly
with someone else, and I touch their belly. They'd obviously it'd be some kind of parental figure or my child.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Alison Brie is obviously clocked onto.
Yeah.
She like, said, "What's the relationship?" And he said,
"We're very close family friends."
Yeah, close family
she said,
friends.
He's my dance partner.
And then he said, "I've been teaching her dance since she was four."
And she's currently like 21 years
and
old.
And she said, "And he said, shut up." and he said, "Shut up. You shut up. You shut your mouth. Why don't you shut up? You shut your mouth." Shut up.
I think there was something quite sweet about their friendship. But,
why touch it on the belly, though?
Well, I touch all my female friends on the belly.
Why the light?
What? Slightly touching. Tosh style.
Tosh style. What? Tosh boy no style.
Why was he lightly tracing her navel with his index finger?
Threatening to dip his finger in.
Every now and then when a man has a feeling in his loins.
I live next to an abattoir.
But the other act that they were up against was a Scottish troupe of bagpipers.
That was whack.
And I remember Mrs. Maitland said, I love seeing a man with his pipe and bag just to compare it to my own. And I thought that was quite a
And also I thought line. When they started playing, Mike, probably underneath those prosthetics, shedding a little tear for his dad.
Yeah, daddy loved the pipes. Shrek based on a Scotsman. The dad from Somerad and Axe Murder, Scotsman.
Fat bastard.
Fat bastardo. He's a Scotsman.
What? Yeah, I think he was probably underneath those prosthetics, shedding a couple of tears, looking skywards, thinking of Papa. Maybe he used to watch the Gong Show with his dad.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he's getting emotional under there. And it's just like, it's nice to know that it always comes back to his father.
Always back to Fajr. Yep. And I honestly thought that maybe Mike was like, why aren't I doing Fat Bastard today?
Yeah.
So I could be fattening it up with these fat ladies. Fat ladies see, hey, big spender, and then these boys with their bagpipes, you know? I could be in here mucking around too.
But alas, he's only got a fat head.
Yes, Tommy just a fat Tommy Maitland. Tommy Maitland, his joints are quite stiff, wouldn't you say?
I think, I think the guy's...
He loves...
He made a joke about having a hernia. I think maybe.
He said that he's got four hernia belts, and he walks around like a guy that does have a hernia. So.
He does march around.
He does.
Like a little wind-up toy.
You know what I'm excited about? I think, Sam, you said this when we were watching it, is that an Australian performer that we know is going to be a contestant on this show.
This I heard.
Yeah.
If it's coming from me and not the two experts in the field, who knows?
Well, we don't look ahead to the Gong Show. We like to be surprised by it.
Yeah.
But I think Asher Trelevin, Australian comedian, and his performing partner,
his blushing beau.
I feel bad that I don't know her name.
Aren't they called Bunny and something?
That's the name of the act. Yeah. It's Peter and Bambi Heaven.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's like they're Gold Coast magicians. But I think they're going to do an act on the show.
That's cool. If that happens, we will track down Asher Trelevin, interview.
I think we've only met him once between us.
Yeah, probably. But interview and get all the scoop on Tommy Maitland. That's exciting. Yeah. We need more Aussies on the Gong Show.
I did once ride on the front of his bike.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had this giant bike, and everyone was telling me to jump on the front of it, and he's like, nah, and I was like, oh, no way. But then everyone was like, do it, and then I was riding, and I guess I had...
Did he have pegs or something?
My life in his... It was a giant... Because he's huge.
Mm. He's a very tall, slender man.
Yeah, it was a really...
Not unlike Slender Man.
This bike, I honestly think it was bigger than a horse.
Awesome, dude.
Well, that's exciting. I hope that they are on it. Peter and Bambi Heaven. We'll keep an eye out.
They're very funny.
I hope they're on it. I'm going to... if they are, I will try and track him down again.
We'll track him down.
That would be very exciting.
It got me thinking, what would an Australian Gong Show panel be like? Because the dream would be us three boys up on the dais.
That would be great. Yeah,
that would be so fun.
I think we could handle it.
Oh, as in...
I would probably be the judge.
Honestly, who's hosting it? Effie?
Effie could be a great host of the Gong Show. Really? Because it would have to be... It has to be in character.
Has to be character now.
I think Chris Lilley.
And he could change... And change our host every week.
As S-Mouse?
He does there's a lot of interesting characters.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get Chris Lilley as S-Mouse as the host.
Briggs as the band leader.
Yeah, the AV originals of the band.
Yeah, that's that would be really awesome. But there's so many great Aussie characters that could be the host. You know, you could get Dame Edna Everidge.
Yeah.
Cheeky Monkey, not far from Hello Possum.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's only one step away. Con the Fruiterer, perhaps.
Oh, my God. Couple of acts. We've got a
couple of acts left, yeah. That's
and Maria could be Mitzi.
Yeah, Kylie Mole.
Poiter would be excellent.
Poiter would be cool.
If we could get Eric Banner to host the Australian version of the Gong Show, that would be fantastic.
And like the judges, I really do have this high hope that if this ever happens, they would get a cool group of young, rotating judges to come in.
You know, so Roastmasters
people
generals.
Like us can get in there. But at the end of the day, it will most likely just be Legacy Axe.
Yeah.
We're going to be seeing...
Shane Jacobson.
Shane Jacobson.
Yeah, he'll
Shannon
be on there.
Noll, no. Guy Sebastian. Like,
that was off the wall, guys. That was just out there.
What if Kenny hosted the Gong Show?
Oh.
Not Kenny, who's a speechless character from South Park, but Kenny, who is a humble man
and
from
not
Australian...
Quentin Kennyhan.
He's a humble Australian plumber who digs up shitty toilets and portaloos and stuff from a famous mockumentary from Australia called Kenny, which actually was the last feature comedy film ever made in Australia.
That's not true.
Name one.
A few other. Best men.
Okay, there's one, one half after that.
Oddball.
Oddball, yeah, also stars Shane Jacobson.
You haven't considered Oddball.
Shane Jacobson has been in every movie that's come out since Kenny.
That was made really here, has. I think.
He's Charlie always winking.
Boots.
Yeah. He's always winking.
He's a winker.
He's like, get on you guys.
He's one of the most humble hands that Australia has.
I reckon he's very impressed. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Someone would like pull out their phone and be like, oh, what? Oh, great.
What kind of phone have you got?
He's actually hosting a show not unlike
seven?
The Gong Show.
Is that a seven?
He's hosting he's hosting like a kids gong show. Did
really?
You see that?
No.
Yeah. He's hosting a show for like children to show their weird talents.
So there is a gong show in Australia.
Yeah, it's for kids.
And Kenny is hosting it.
And Kenny's
so
hosting
we
it.
So we predicted
it. Outrageous.
Or posthumously predicted it.
Unfortunately, we didn't predict it. We just knew it. We kind of...
Tragically, we didn't actually predict it. It was just...
Tragically,
probably,
it was out there in the world.
It was
and
out
we
there
just
and
kind
maybe
of locked
we just
onto
subconsciously
it.
Absorbed it.
Tragically. Sadly, it wasn't really predicted.
Well, that's exciting. Australian Gong Show. I'd love to see it happen. If you're listening, producers, and I know you are.
Stan, if you're out there giving a listen to us.
Stan have been taking notes of some things that...
They have. Yesterday, they were on board with some of my tweets, so I reckon we've got a chance
All right.
of making the Gong Show... Wollongong Show, maybe we could call it. The Wollongong Show.
Frenchie would have to host
yeah,
it.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sadly,
tragically, Frenchie would have to...
They'd have to be the host of the Wollongong Show, unfortunately.
Well, this is great stuff. Well,
excellent stuff. We will join you for another recap of the Gong Show in a couple of weeks.
But before we go, I just want to ask Sam one final question. It's an important question that we ask all of our guests. Did anything during this show make you feel horny?
Baby.
And you have to admit it.
I thought the whole thing was horny.
All right.
Hey, wonderful.
Sorry.
Sorry, the boy's got broken pajamas down here.
Yeah. So. Oh, wow. Thanks so much for being a guest on our show, Sam.
Thank you so much.
Stop tearing up, mate. Don't worry. Just hold it. It's
very emotional.
The next to an abattoir.
Now,
can't hear the animals, but I can,
you can
smell,
smell
them.
Them.
I can smell them. The perfume of death is at once nauseating and fascinating.
And it's quite erotic, one might say.
That actually makes me horny.
Well, now, I love the smell of blood.
You are famously, like Mike Myers, absent from social media. Mm. But what have you got coming up that our listeners can check out?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm going to be, speaking of Mike Myers, I will be at Myers.
The department store show.
That's exciting. Shopping.
I
or
will be
window shopping
in the Christmas display.
Okay.
I will be
what are you
doing
playing
a
which character
24 hour piece.
Okay.
You know,
are you playing a naughty elf?
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, Sam, actually, this September, you've got your Sydney Fringe Comedy Show, where we'll be trialling a new hour of comedy.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing that, and I'm also, my friend Eric and I are making a web series called Nippers, that Alexi was the first AD for.
For a few days, and then I passed out from heatstroke and never returned to sets.
You got heatstroke, and that will be out on Comedy Central in November, I think.
It's a very, very funny series called Nippers.
And next year, I'm hoping to do a show, a live show, a show where people play table tennis, but it's like wrestling, and there'll be like villains and a lot of video and multimedia.
Well, you truly have a touched mind.
Well, I like competition aspect. Like that's why I like the Gong Show and stuff like that, and like the villains. And
will there be a prize?
I was. Would you be? I was. I want.
Whoa! People, am I going to be the prize?
I want I want guys dangling over the table as the people play.
Like by on a wire?
On a harness.
Okay.
Wait, I'm not in, I don't want to be suspended.
If the ball goes too high, you catch it.
Like cherubs.
Suspended yeah. by hooks.
Yeah.
Okay, no thanks.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going to sign Alexi up for that.
Oh, no, I don't want to do a camera.
I just think that would be great.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah.
See, it's that yeah. easy. Two people.
And, that, but that, and it's not my original idea. It's, I'm working on it with Ray Badrin.
Oh, right. Ray Badrin.
Yeah, but he hasn't been returning my emails.
Okay, well, it sounds like it's all going to head.
But Elia, the manager from Century Entertainment, said that he would produce it.
Well, okay. If you've got his word, then it's
very
locked
believable
in.
Story.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was so excited and like manic when I was like, I love talking about it, like this idea. Because I think it'd be crazy. Like, you get all like big stars and stuff, yeah. and you'd build up these stories, and you'd also hire professional table tennis yeah. players to pose as the lowly open micers.
Oh, that's great.
That's really yeah. nice. You could yeah. get Shane Jacobson to do it, I reckon.
Oh, I reckon you could. I reckon you could get changed.
Yeah, we actually are looking for someone to play a big, fat, stupid cunt.
Well, if I'm busy, feel free to call Shane.
So, I don't know why I said that. Oh, man.
No, we're leaving that in. Have we got anything to plug? We've got Austin Powers.
We are screening Austin Powers on August 16th, Wednesday night, in a couple of weeks at the Golden Leaf Cinema.
Couple of weeks.
Oh, great.
Yes.
Which one? The first one?
The first one is
the International Man of Mystery.
20th yeah. anniversary screening, would you believe it? We are hosting it. They got us.
Ooh. Can you believe it?
Can you believe it? They chose us to host the 20th anniversary screening of Austin Powers.
I can't believe it. That's Heather Graham.
No, it's baby. Liz Hurley.
A trick question, and you truly are the experts you claim to be.
Please, Shrek-sperts.
Yes, we are Shrek-sperts. You're going to come down and hang out with us there?
I'd like to, yeah. I'll check my calendar. Or should I say, my Wayne's Wallada. I got a bit loopy doing this.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Well, that's the vibe that we're giving out.
What, what have you got coming out as individuals?
As individuals?
I can't remember off the top of my head. I just want to plug the Austin Powers thing. I've got two fringe shows that I don't really want to plug coming up, but you can Google them if you want to.
You can, later on, you
Cameron
can
James,
it
Sydney Fringe.
Whatever you called it. What's the name of it?
I'm doing two split bills.
One with Becky Lucas, one with some others.
Sam Taunton and Tom Cashman.
Oh, great.
One with the boys, one with the girls.
Yeah, right. Split it up.
I'm a real Tommy Maitland that way.
What about you, Alexi?
On August 9th,
You're working on your afters project?
I'm working on my final film for film school. But on August 9th, I am hosting the opening program launch night for the Sydney Underground Film Festival at
wow,
the Factory Theatre.
That's awesome.
Yes, my third year doing it.
And
it's
you're
so
applying to be an official critic.
I'm applying to be official film critic. I'm trying to join the Film Critics Association of Australia.
Far
so,
out.
Please, guys.
If you,
I got to get,
you
in.
Get in. Can you get me a press pass to any movies that I want to
I think
go
that's
to?
What I can do.
All right,
that's why I'm trying to do it so we can get press passes.
Yes, I'm so sick of paying that $11.50 that I have
know,
to pay.
I know.
That's I saw The Beguiled at Newtown Dindy and there was a blackout halfway through.
Guys, I'm sick of this shit. Let's end the podcast.
All right, thanks so much for listening, babies. We'll
bye
talk
bye.
To you very soon.
See you later, Shrekies. Don't forget the Max Murderer.
Sorry.
It's Mike Check. It's Mike Check. The podcast about Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.